Hey guys, hang on. Rethinking Football is sponsored by Prospect Sports International Academy in Spain. If you're a young player ages 15 to 22 and you're interested in playing abroad at a high level, then check out the International Academy at prospectss.com. That's prospectss.com. Now back to our regular programming.
Shut up and sit down.
Welcome to the Rethinking Football podcast, where we discuss player development with players, world-renowned scouts, professional football academy directors, coaches, and others. We will use Spain's model and compare it to other national governing bodies in other countries. At the end of each podcast, we will update our theory of change to improve player development worldwide using indicators, best practices, and our own research, along with the opinions and expertise of our guests.
Welcome to Rethinking Football. I'm your host, Dawn Brown. My guest today is Jackie Backteller. Jackie is trainer and project leader for IFK Stocksund in Sweden and has played professional football and coached both in the U.S. and abroad. She has also just signed with Hammarby IF. I'm excited to talk with you today for many reasons, but one of the most important reasons is because of the impact you've had in women's soccer globally. And I think that the timing couldn't be better given that we are celebrating International Women's Day this month. And here in the United States, we're celebrating Women's History Month as well. So the timing is really ideal. You have a pretty powerful story. I know you've been playing and coaching since a young age. And you're about to make this exciting transition in your career by signing with Hammarby. And we can talk more about that in a bit as well. Your global experience and perspective are the key things that we'd like to talk with you today. So why don't we start with learning a little bit more about you? Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
I come from Southampton, Massachusetts originally. And my dad was my first coach growing up, and I really fell in love with the game. I played about until I was 10, and I got pretty sick. So I had to stop for a little while, but then I saw the women's national team from 1999, and I saw them beat China in these incredible penalty kicks in the Rose Bowl, 90,000 fans, and I saw the passion and everything about it and that feeling, and I thought, that's what I want, and I really became to fall in love with the game and everything about the game. So I started training constantly from right before the bus came to pick me up to right when I got home to go to my own training and so on. I played for my first club team, which was a few ages older. And then there was a camp, Soccer Plus camps, that was down the street from my house, and my parents signed me up for it, and it was Tony DeChico's camp. I asked my family if Tony would be at the camp, and they said, oh, we don't know. And the first day at the camp, he was there. They asked for a demonstrator with him, and I raised my hand directly. He picked me. I ended up nutmegging him in front of 100 kids. We started to keep in contact, and throughout the years I went to the camp every year, and then he started a club in Connecticut called Soccer Plus Connecticut Reds and asked me if I would like to come join his club, and it was an honor. And besides playing for him, they offered me a job at Soccer Plus where I just worked in the office, from cleaning to filing to learning all the little details about how to run a club when it came to marketing, finance, coaching, packing for camps, everything you can imagine, what it took to run a camp business, a club, to run a team, to coach a team, even before I went to college. And it was an honor playing for them, and it was extremely professional and somewhere where it was a dream to play. There was some boys in my hometown that wanted individual training, so I started coaching them individually as well. I was extremely technical, and they asked me, oh, our coach, we need a new coach, and would you like to be our coach? So I coached this U12 boys team until I left for college, and in the beginning they were the Bad News Bears, but as time went on, we really found a great connection, and now all those boys are still playing and in college and so on. And I went to Florida Southern College after I graduated from high school. And in the beginning, the team was about last place or finished, short to last. And after the first, after our first year, or throughout my 4 years, we became top 25 in the country. and it was an incredible journey. I met some of my lifelong friends, a lot of Swedish players that I still meet regularly here in Stockholm. And yeah, it was a dream. And every summer I would go home, I would work for Soccer Plus camps. I would play in the WPSL for Soccer Plus Reds. But then the summer before my senior year, I got invited to play for the Boston Aztecs, where I had the opportunity to train with the Boston Breakers. I got invited to train with them the whole summer, and it was a dream come true, training with players like Christine Lilly, Kelly Smith, and so on. And I loved every second of it, enjoyed it, and got to play for Tony there. And the Aztecs, it was fantastic, one of the best summers of my life at that time. I went and had my senior year, and I had a tip that the league and then WPS would probably fold. So I thought it would be better for me to go overseas. So 3 days after I graduated, I had signed a contract to go to Finland. So I was on the next plane to Finland for my first contract and first time as a professional player. And it was very interesting. Not everyone on my team could speak English. My coach, he could speak very little English. He spoke Finnish to the team and Swedish to me. So I ended up learning Swedish in Finland. And I coached there as well. I coached in the Finnish and Swedish schools. I coached for the club and for kids that couldn't even speak the same language. And it was an incredible experience, and I learned a lot by myself. And the next year, I got a contact from a club in Sweden called IFK Gävle, which played in Division 2, and they offered me to coach their Division 3 team as well. So I got to play and coach, which was incredible, and also coach in the schools. And Gävle, I met Tony Gustafsson, who is now the U.S. national assistant national team coach, or an assistant coach for the U.S. national team. And he started a company called Tiki Taka Football Development along with Bore Gustafsson. And we had the same thoughts, the same ideas on development, and it was incredible to meet someone that thought of the game in the same way as I did. And so Tony invited me to come back and help him build this together with his father, Bore. And it was an incredible experience. They didn't have enough money to pay for my visa right away. So I ended up playing for a Division 1 team in Borlänge, which was 3 hours from Stockholm. And all my work with Tiki Taka was in Stockholm. So I traveled from Borlänge to Stockholm every week, twice a week, and worked in Tyresö, where they had players such as Mark Davier, Bukette, Carolyn Seeger, Kristen Press, Megan Klenningberg, Ali Krieger, and so on. Some of the best women's players in the world at the time. And I worked with from the A team all the way down to the youth team, running camps, clinics, talent groups, everything for Tyresö. And the name spread with Tiki Taka, and we got more and more work. It kind of exploded in Sweden. And we went to Costa Rica as well, spread it to the U.S., now they're in Nigeria. It really boomed with this method. Everyone in Tyresö only knew me as a coach, to be honest. So when I had a game in Stockholm, people came to watch me play, and they asked me, what are you doing there? You need to come here and play. So yeah, halfway through the season, I transferred to play for Tyresö. So I got to train with the best players in the world almost every day, both playing and coaching. Play matches with their Division 1 team. It was an incredible dream. And then I ended up playing for Djurgården Gordon right after that, which is another top team in Sweden. And sadly, Tyresö, they went bankrupt. And so all these players went to different clubs all around Europe. So I started taking little trips to visit these players in Frankfurt, Barcelona, Montpellier, and so on. And I saw the same thing everywhere, that there was something missing. There was all these great players from around the world, and they were winning because they had good players, not because they played well. Maybe because they had more athletic players, but not because they played great soccer, great football. And I saw that there was something missing, and a spark missing, and a fire missing. It was just like a job, check in, check out, and it was killing me. And I saw my heart was becoming more of a coach. So I decided to retire 3 years ago and really put my heart into coaching. And I got a job in the Elitettan. So the second highest league in Sweden, to coach for a team called Sunanoa, way up north in Sweden, so basically the North Pole. And it was also an incredible experience, and I learned a lot. We had a lot of adversity as well with injuries and so on. And after that experience, I got an offer to go to Cyprus to coach in their top league. And their dream is also to go to win the league and go to Champions League. And then the team in Cyprus, my oldest player was 40, my youngest was 14. Everyone else was around 26, 27. And I had players from Moldavia, Romania, Slovakia, three Swedish players, and a few players from Cyprus. Not everyone could speak the same language. Some players couldn't even speak English, but we found a way to really connect, and we found a way to really play together. And we did something really, really special in Cyprus, and we had so much adversity in so many different ways, from game fixing to referees to everything you can imagine. But we really, this team knew how to fight, and we knew how to connect and come together, and we beat the Apollon Ladies for the first time in the Cyprus history. And we were a few points from Champions League. It was a dream on the field, I can say. And so then after this experience, I decided to come back to Sweden with my old manager from Djurgården. He went with a club called IFK Stocksund. And he asked, would you come here and help me and IFK Stocksund to create a way to college to help players towards their dream? And so I thought it was a great way to come back. And they were also going to help me with my UEFA B, which I'm almost done with right now. It's been an incredible experience, and I love helping players towards their dream and connecting players. And my dream is to go to Champions League and to win Champions League, and win by playing well, but win by putting on a show, win with freedom, by lifting up the individual strength where they lift the team and the team lifts the individual, where everyone makes each other looks good. Problem solvers, a balance between structure and freedom. And now recently I just got an offer to go to Hammarby and Damallsvenskan, which is the top league in Sweden. So now I will be the assistant coach in Damallsvenskan with Hammarby, and I will also be with IFK Stocksund, helping them create this way to college and helping these Swedish young players to the dream in the US, as well as living my dream as an elite coach, a top coach.
What a wonderful experience that you've had so far in your career. And there's a lot I want to dig in and talk more about. But let's start with Soccer Plus. You mentioned Soccer Plus and being involved with them in your early development as a player. And it sounds like it had a pretty big influence on you. Can you tell us more about that experience, why it was important to you, what it has done to help you in your career today?
The Soccer Plus, without them, I would not be where I am today. I can say that. I had a passion for the game, and I was a student of the game, but so was everyone involved in Soccer Plus. They were all students. They were all extremely passionate, and it was an environment where players and coaches learned together. It was an environment where you felt free, where you could express yourself. I learned how to really, really express myself within a team environment, and they brought the best out of me. And they showed me, they knew I had a dream, but they showed me that it was possible. And they made it okay for every player to dream, and they gave every player the opportunity, and it was up to you to take it as well. And Tony DeChico, the director, owner, the one that started Soccer Plus, he not only has helped me, but so many players in the U.S. towards their dream. He helped me with college, he helped me come to Finland, he helped me. He was my mentor in every single way. So I have a lot to thank for Soccer Plus, Tony DeChico and the DeChico family and everyone involved for everything they've taught me. I still use today in my career.
That's fantastic. It seems like through your career, you've been both a player and a coach at the same time, just based on your history and background. Can you tell us a bit more about your experience in coaching, and particularly in coaching while also playing?
Yeah, to be honest, when I first started coaching, I did it so I could train more. I did it so I could, if I wanted to work on some extra, you know, chipping the goalkeeper, coming around, or work on a little bit of a longer ball or different types of shooting, first touch and so on, it was a perfect way for me to train and teach other people. And I realized the more I taught, the better I got. And later on, as I studied this, you learn the most when you teach. And so I taught as much as I could because I knew it would make myself a better player as well. And then when I was playing, I always thought, okay, how can I teach this? What are the keys to solve this problem? How can I get this out to my players? So my playing helped my coaching, and my coaching helped my playing. And my coaching made my playing much better because it gave me these keys to solve the problems, to find different spaces, to be quicker, to solve these different problems in the great game than most players. And also, I had so many repetitions and could demonstrate almost anything. So I got maybe thousands of repetitions every week from shooting to first touch and so on. So coaching was basically a way for me to train as well. And it's also something for me to give back. I've been coaching since I was 14. And I've coached now in the U.S., Finland, Sweden, Cyprus, Spain, Costa Rica, so in 6 different countries professionally. And one thing that Soccer Plus did for me is they gave me an opportunity, and they really gave back to me, and I want to give back that legacy as well. I want to, I love to develop players. I love to develop a team. I love to develop a group towards a goal and work towards a goal, both as a player and a person.
Everybody who wants to be somebody in a particular sport, who's passionate about the sport, whether it's football or any sport for that matter, they want to know all the heroes, who all the winners are. It's everybody associated with the sport. So how important do you think that knowledge, not just about the world-renowned names, but also the local people, the local stars, how important is that to a child's formative years of soccer? And what kind of influence does that have on them?
I think this is extremely important. When I was younger, I knew everything. For example, my dream is to play on the Boston Breakers. I trained with them, but never officially played for them. My dream was to play on those blue colors in this Harvard Stadium. And I knew every single detail about this team. I knew who their manager was. I knew who their coaches were. I knew every player, what countries they were from. Their stats, everything. I wanted to know everything. I watched all their games. We had season tickets. So me and my dad went to every game we could. And it was incredible to see these players. And when you see these type of players, these type of role models, you want to imitate them, emulate them. So I think it's important for young players to have real idols, not just the ones you see on TV, but maybe it's a local high school. Maybe it's a club team. Maybe it's a WPSL team that you can go watch, and you see a player like, wow, this player is something special. I want to be like this player. I want to copy them. I want to copy their movements. So when you have a hero, when you have a role model, whether it be from your local high school or whether it be marked on, you are involved in studying every detail about this person, every detail about this team. You can also take it into your own game to imitate it and copy it within your own training.
That's awesome. This concludes this episode of Rethinking Football. Please join us next time when we continue our conversation with Jackie Backteller and we talk about her experience as a player in Europe's elite football.
To access the transcript of this podcast and other archives, please visit our website, www.prospectsss.com, and click on Podcasts. That is prospectsss.com. If you enjoyed this show, subscribe to get the latest episodes directly to your device. This episode is also brought to you by PSS International Academy. Research shows that in sports, the one thing that works and makes lower-performing players better is immersion. To learn about our programs and how you can play federated football in Spain, visit prospectsss.com and click on International Academies. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at RethinkingF. Rethinking Football's theme song, Actionable, is courtesy of DenSound.com.